You're listening to the Counterculture Mom Show. Our kids are under fire every day with the media and pop culture persuading them to give up their faith and Christian values. Stay tuned now as former Hollywood actress and pop culture expert Tina Griffin helps you counter these messages and safely navigate today's pop culture chaos.
Parents, have you checked out our Counterculture Mom app yet? You can get it at Google Play, iTunes Store. It'll keep your sanity and keep you from losing any more hair. If you are a parent that feels overwhelmed when it comes to keeping up with the constantly changing technology and influence on your kids, this is the app for you. Download the Counterculture Mom app. Just because Hollywood dishes up sex, violence, pornography, and drug use in all facets of entertainment doesn't mean we have to allow it in our homes. Our goal is to put the power back in your hands to help you choose a safe media environment for your kids. Our app is not just loaded with the current problems in pop culture, but solutions on how you can address these different topics with your kids. It also has talking points, videos, you name it. In turn, your children will know how to make their own wise media choices and develop a healthy worldview as a result. So keep your hair and download the Counterculture Mom app now by going to Google Play, iTunes Store, or you can also visit our website, counterculturemom.com. and know how to safely navigate the pop culture chaos and what media you want to allow through your front door. Biblical humility is not a tactic, and it's not just being nice. It's a revolutionary path to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. The health and witness of the church urgently depend on an essential biblical virtue, humility. Dennis Edwards traces the theme of humility throughout Scripture. He demonstrates how true humility is grounded in submission to God and as a result becomes manifest in all areas of life. Dennis diffuses common misconceptions about humility and explores its role in Christian community, conflict, leadership, suffering, worship, and stewardship. Filled with stories from the author's ministry experience, Humility Illuminated addresses common areas of leadership failure and how to avoid them, applies biblical texts on humility to multi-ethnic ministry and justice work, and issues a compelling challenge to the church. This is the Counterculture Mom Show. I'm Tina Griffin. The topic, obviously, is humility. I'm with Dennis Edwards, Dean of North Park Seminary and Vice President of Church Relations. Dennis, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, and thank you again for the invitation to be here.
Oh, that's so humble of you. I am really, really, you're like, oh no, here we go. You look like a very humble person. I'm going to throw you a curveball question right in the mix. Out of all the topics people talk about, why humility for your life? How did that become your calling?
Oh, well, that's not quite a hardball question. And I'm not sure what humility looks like. But at the same time, I would say that I've always been intrigued by that virtue in the sense that I've heard people describe other people as humble, and I've not been sure what that meant. So it was a mixed bag of things. And it became something I wanted to explore biblically, especially as I became a biblical scholar and somebody who just interested in the scriptures. So yeah, it was born out of a natural curiosity.
Did your parents teach you how to be humble as a kid?
Maybe. I do think of my father in many ways as an example as I looked at, but I also think that humility, for me, I had to distinguish humility from just a passivity or a natural self-deprecation or just being deferential, because sometimes we assume that that's what humility is. I would say that at home, sometimes I learned the opposite of what I now understand to be humility. So no, I wouldn't say I fully learned it at home, but I would say there were some glimpses of it in the way I saw my father operate.
Unreal. And that makes sense. Now, since the topic is on humility, asking you why is it hard to have conversations about important issues in the church, is it because people are not humble?
Yes, I think that's true. I think we don't pursue humility or cultivate it or even understand it. So consequently, we act out of our own sense of self-preservation. I was just talking with somebody earlier today about the sense of maybe even desperation people might have when they're going through a hard time. And so our default is to do what we think we should do naturally, or to follow example of somebody we think has managed a similar kind of situation. But we don't always stop and think, what is the way of Christ? How do I stop and pursue the more godly way? In other words, we act often out of a self-preservation. That's not always the godly way.
That's so good. Do you think that happens more often than not?
Yes, I do. And I think that's why humility seems so strange to us, because it is counter the culture. It's not the way we would normally go. So, yeah, I do think it's odd and rare to find genuinely humble people.
If people were humble and there was strife in the church, a hard situation or topic to talk about or discuss, what do you think would be the result if we actually, all parties involved, were humble?
Well, I think we might still wind up disagreeing, but the way we would do it would model a more equitable sense of let's say, justice, or just even being equitable in how we argue about things. In other words, we'd listen more. We would want to make sure that the people who are in disagreement with us are still our sisters and brothers. So there's a sense that I don't know if we would always find agreement, but I think we'd find a harmony that is often lacking when we disagree.
Just you saying that, I'm trying to think of recent times, even the last year, where I've seen that roll out the way it rolled out, and I can't think of many. It sounds so foreign how you talk about it. So let's just have some fun on this show today. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think off the cuff of a scenario in a church. You'd probably be able to come up with three things right away. On doing a role play of a way it typically goes down and a way it could go down if both parties were humble. Can we do that for fun right now?
Sure. You want me to pick a scenario?
Absolutely. How about you and I do a scenario that you've seen before recently or most common, and let's tackle it the way most people tackle it. And sadly, sometimes I tackle it.
Well, I'm happy to do that. I just didn't know if you wanted me to pick the scenario or you to pick one.
Yeah, you pick one, because you're probably the expert in that. You probably see stuff all the time fly.
Well, I do see stuff all the time. Let's take one that's relatively easy. Let's say songs that we sing in worship service.
Oh, okay.
Or the instrumentation that we use. I'm old enough to remember when people were afraid to have, say, drums in church. Or now churches have smoke machines, but anyway, so let's take a scenario of how we're going to sing in church, or whether we should have a choir or not.
Okay. So you want me to come up and be the mom that's complaining?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, Jesus, crazy. The funny thing is, I love drums, so I'm gonna have to really put my acting skills together here. Okay, so I'm gonna come up and like, Pastor, I can't take the beating on the drums. It's too loud. I want my kids to be able to focus on the Lord. Why can't we go back to traditional? Because Jesus is all about traditional, you know, quiet, calm, peaceful. And it's always going to be like entertainment and the lights and smoke and all that. What just happened to giving everything to the Lord? Everybody comes in without leaving with a headache. Can you please tell those people to get off the drum kit and just, can they go to a different church across the street?
I appreciate your passion for this, and I certainly agree with you that we want people to focus on the Lord. Who do you think might be ministered to by us having the drums?
Well, I don't want these people off the street to come on over here. They're probably doing drugs. Who knows what they're doing for activities? I mean, I know you want to do outreach. Can you just go out there and hang out with them, like, during the week?
I think what I'd really want to pursue is what this person's interest is, and to sort of guide them toward what I think the scriptures are teaching. So in this scenario, I would ask some questions about what do you think the purpose of our church is for, and how do you read those scriptures that tell us to see people as harassed and helpless, like sheep without shepherds? How might our church be able to be that kind of witness to our community?
I love it. Can I try it the humble way? Can I try to be humble now?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, geez. Okay. Coming up. Pastor, I know the drums is different, and I know you want to, you know, do something that's unique and bring the community in, but it just seems to be a little bit loud and wild. Can you fill me in on why the new change at the church and why it's more hip hop and smoke coming out from both sides of the stage? I'm not quite sure what's happening here.
Well, I do appreciate your question, and also your willingness to see that we want to reach out to a cross-section of people. clearly not everybody is into the same thing. And right now we're trying something out. We're trying to see if the way that some people appreciate music and worship and in the corporate setting is resonating. But it's the kind of conversation I hope that we can keep having about what is the best way for us to worship the Lord together and to communicate the good news to our neighbors. So let's consider it an ongoing conversation.
That would be phenomenal. And thank you, Pastor, for having seven different services every Sunday, too, so we can take our choice. And, you know, I'm going to really think twice and just become more humble because you have been teaching that in church. I did notice about 42 new kids off the street in the back of the church today listening to your message. And we do want to help the youth of America. Thank you so much for just explaining it to me and just having these options for all of us. That is so crazy. But I wanted to do a scenario because I see, and I myself catch myself being the person like, we got to fix this right now. This is an issue, forgetting that other people have a mission, a vision, and God told them to do X, Y, Z. Anyway, that was kind of fun. What are your thoughts on that? And then we're going to go to commercial break, but I know you got something to say about this.
Sure. No, I mean, I appreciate it. I think that the goal for me is to get us to communicate on the things that really matter. I mean, the stylistic things are really important for some people, right? And I can understand that. But if I don't listen and find out what is driving your concerns, and if it just sounds like that somebody in the church is forcing a particular course of action, then we're not really getting at the sort of the collaborative spirit that I'm trying to talk about in the book. So for me, listening is key.
That is so well said. All right, commercial break. I'm going to think about more issues and how to be more humble in my life, and we'll be back to talk about humility right after this.
Have you ever wanted to start a charity or ministry? Launching a nonprofit can be time-consuming, expensive, and overwhelming. If you have a vision and mission, but don't know where to start or how to raise donations, Capstone Legacy Foundation is your solution. Their ministry charity project allows you to receive tax-free donations without the expense and hassle of forming your own 501c3, and in less than 48 hours. This ministry partnership fund is exactly how Counterculture Ministries got its start, and we grew quickly. Capstone Legacy Foundation handles all your legal and accounting paperwork, allowing you time to develop the ministry and message God gave you. Call Capstone today at 610-688-8890 or check out capstonelegacy.org for more information and tell them Tina sent you. Partner with Capstone Legacy Foundation to transform our culture for Christ and get your nonprofit started today.
Is there a Christian alternative to Instagram? Stick around and find out. For Christians scrolling through Instagram, some reels, photos, and videos can be less than edifying. A lot of Christians have grown frustrated with the lack of options for social media platforms that align with their beliefs. Others may just be tired of getting sucked into the algorithm and are looking for social media alternatives with other believers. The answer to your question is Tubu. Tubu is an awesome Christian alternative to Instagram where you can share photos, videos, Bible verses, and more with fellow believers. So what is Tubu like? Let's take a look. Tubu is more than social media. It's a community. The Tubu community is full of like-minded individuals who share your values and beliefs. When you join Tubu, you'll be able to connect with people who understand you and your faith. So what are you waiting for? Go to tuvu.com/Tina for your first 30 days free. That's tuvu.com/Tina for 30 days free.
All right, more humility talk here. I'm excited to ask you fire a couple more questions your direction. Why does the health and witness of the church urgently depend on recovering the essential biblical virtue of humility?
Yeah, you know, in the earliest days, and I would say this is the first century, in the early first century, that humility marked our Christian forebears because it was so much different than the rest of the Greco-Roman world. So humble was sort of an identifier for Christians. So I think that that was part of their witness. Now, of course, not everybody received that, but some people were really drawn to that. I think we have lost some of that in our witness today because we've adopted many of the patterns of the rest of society so that humility seems odd and strange to us. In fact, it even feels like a weird topic to talk about at times because we don't really understand it. And it seems weak and passive to us. Ooh. But I do think if we could recover it, we would have a stronger witness like our early forebears.
Wow, that was so well said. Yes, we would. I mean, if we go against culture and we're actually humble, more people would stop and listen and look and say, hang on a second, that is so rare. And they will receive it a lot better. And more disagreements can be solved in a calmer manner. And who knows, maybe two people can actually see and come to an agreement together just by parties being humble. And with humility, I'm just assuming here, correct me if I'm wrong, you said it a couple times, being humble means being a great listener.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. And I don't want to be naive to say that all of our conflicts would be resolved, but I would say that it would be clearer that in our approach to things that we can be more like Jesus. Jesus confronted things that were wrong and at times pretty stridently, but that did not negate what the scriptures say about him being how he describes himself as being humble of heart and even gentle, where we can find rest for our souls. So I don't think that humility means that we don't speak our minds when we need to, but we speak our minds to correct things that are wrong or even unjust. But so there is a place for it operative in our Christian life.
Absolutely. I think half the time people just want to be heard. So even if their argument isn't won, just to know that someone cares enough to hear what they have to say, being humble and letting that person share is what will help solve a lot of problems too. This is such a great conversation. Why is humility the distinctive identity marker of followers of Jesus?
Yeah. Well, I think because it does make that contrast with the rest of society. So if we go back to, say, the Greco-Roman world, where people were divided across their, well, let's put it this way, society was stratified in different ways. The Christians were like the only place where you saw people coming together who are of different places in life. You had enslaved people, you had free people, you had men and women coming together to worship Jesus. And that picture is already different from the rest of society by and large. So, and then when Christians could learn the way of respecting those around them to not be the ones who are looking for war and conflict, they're the ones looking for peace and love and justice, that already provided a contrast to a society that was built around violence and built around hierarchy. So just their way of being was already in contrast to the rest of society.
That's so good. Okay. Let's say parents are trying to teach their kids to be humble. What would you suggest is a good discussion over dinner, good tactics to squeeze in throughout the day as examples? Like, how can we teach our kids be humble, not prideful, as we're also trying to not be prideful?
Yeah, I think one of the things that may be helpful is to have conversations about where they are seeing, let's say, injustice, for lack of a better word.
That's
where
great.
They may have seen a student get made fun of or bullied, where they may have seen somebody disrespecting somebody disrespecting anybody. It's helpful for young people to see when those things are wrong and the humble thing would be to say, can you imagine how that person felt when they were getting, you know, insulted or whatever? And then how might you be the kind of person that befriends them and advocates for them? So for me, that's a place where I think my own children or our own children have been able to pay attention to what they see around them. To me, that's humility. It's not keeping your mouth shut. I want to be clear about that. Humility is not just being quiet and letting everybody else say their piece. Humility is a position where I'm paying attention to what's going on around me, and I bring the presence of Christ as best I can into that situation.
When you were writing your book about humility, what was the neatest thing that you realized while writing that book?
I appreciate that question. I think it's what I wound up putting in the early, maybe the first chapter, was how humility is related to our intimacy with God. I called it yielding. But one example would be how Numbers chapter 12 calls Moses the humblest man on the face of the earth. Yet I think that humility is tied to his intimacy with God. It's right in that very same passage where God kind of defends Moses and says to Miriam and Aaron, I speak to other prophets in dreams and visions, but with Moses, I speak face to face. There's this intimacy that Moses enjoyed with God, and I think that's what makes him the humblest man on the face of the earth. So humility and intimacy with God are directly proportional.
Oh, so good. And your book, once again, for those people tuning in via radio, podcast, everywhere else, it's called Humility Illuminated, The Biblical Path Back to Christian Character. Just phenomenal. So needed. I wish I could just like put my head on that book at night and absorb it over a 10-hour period. Just so needed in our culture today. What are some common misconceptions about humility?
Yeah. One is that humility means that I need to always be self-deprecating. I always have to be quiet and defer to the more powerful person in the room, or even that I should see myself as having no inherent worth or value, that I'm sort of this little wiggly worm on the face of the earth. And then if I see myself in that shrinking way, then somehow that God would be pleased with that. I think that's a misconception. I think that notion that humility means passivity and weakness, that's a misconception. So I try to deal with those notions in the book.
Just great insight. You're making me want to be a better parent, and hopefully I will be as a result of listening to this episode about three times. We're going to go to commercial break, and we are going to come back and find out how we can get our hands on your book, Humility Illuminated, The Biblical Path Back to Christian Character, right after this. Have you been feeling a little off lately? Many of us have. The crazy thing is, you're not sick. You're being poisoned. GMOs, glyphosates, heavy metals, microplastics, nanobots, and graphene oxide in vaccines. These toxins are everywhere. But there is a solution that detoxifies and goes after the root of the problem with all natural ingredients that work at the nano and cellular levels. It's called Masterpiece. This organic formula has two natural ingredients, zeolite and sea plasma, both powerfully structured together. The clinical studies are unmatched, and they've got thousands of testimonials with incredible stories. One user said, "Phenomenal product. I've only been taking it for a week and my energy levels are through the roof." To get Masterpiece, just go to masterpiecebyhcs.com. That's Masterpiece by hcs.com, or click on the link below. Enter code Tina at checkout to get our special pricing. It's literally a dollar a day. Let's ditch the poison. Hey everyone, it's Tina. Did you know that movies and TV shows today have three times more profanity, sexual content, and violence than just two decades ago? Three times! Like, I want my kids seeing that. If you're sick of staring at the screen and seeing things you wish you and your family could unsee, then VidAngel is for you. VidAngel lets you choose from over 100 filters to seamlessly skip the stuff you don't want to be exposed to on over 15,000 shows streaming on Netflix, Prime Video, Apple TV, and more. Filter entire categories or subcategories like the graphic portion of violence, or ditch specific words or certain scenes. Regardless, the power is back in your hands on what enters your home. You gotta check it out. And right now, VidAngel is giving our listeners 2 weeks of service for free. Start your free 2-week trial today at vidangel.com when you use code Tina. That's 2 free weeks with code Tina. VidAngel, watch more stuff without the bad stuff. Everybody out there, if you already have Dennis's book, get a box of books, because we've just did a role play in the first half of this program that we typically don't see in churches today. We don't see it in our homes today. We need to be more humble. And I'm talking to myself at the same time. So get a box of books. Dennis just wrote Humility Illuminated, The Biblical Path Back to Christian Character. Dennis, what's in this phenomenal book of yours? And I know we can get it on Amazon. And of course, it's a 5-star. No shocker.
Well, that's nice. I actually haven't checked the Amazon listing there. So yeah, getting a few ratings up there. Okay, that's nice. Well, what's in the book, to answer your question, is I try to do a biblical study. My training is in biblical studies. That's what my doctorate's in. So I try to do a biblical study of the language of humility and the descriptions of humility. But then I punctuate that with stories from my years of pastoral ministry. I have served churches for about 30 years, and taught adjunct for a while before I taught full time. So I try to describe what humility looks like in a variety of settings and in variety of callings that we have as Christians, like in stewardship, worship, navigating conflict, in how we deal with hardships. All of those kinds of things I try to address with story and with some biblical exegesis to talk about humility's role in all of those things.
Check out Dennis's website. You got to go there now. It's phenomenal. Tons of resources. Just go to RevDRDRE for Reverend Dr. Dennis R. Edwards, his initials DRE. Everybody out there, watch all four episodes on how we can be more humble in America right now. If you want to donate to our cause, counterculturemom.com, click on the pink donate button, top of the page. Share this episode with the masses. Dennis, you rock. I cannot wait to have a steak with you on the grill and talk about being humble.
Well, God bless you. Thank you.
You too.
Thanks for joining us for the Counterculture Mom Show with your host, Tina Griffin. For over two decades, Tina has traveled the globe exposing how pop culture is glamorizing harmful behaviors without showing the consequences and how these messages are wreaking havoc on today's youth. Through radio, TV, podcasts, and our app, Counterculture Ministries is reaching millions every week with a biblically based message for hope for today's teens and their parents. But we can't do that without your faithful prayer and financial investment. If you appreciate the ministry of Tina and Counterculture Ministries, would you prayerfully consider a generous gift right now? We have a donor matching dollar for dollar. You can give securely online by visiting counterculturemom.com or by texting the word donate to the number 55444. That's counterculturemom.com or text the word donate to the number 55444. Every dollar is doubled. If you love this show, you can stay up to date on the latest critical issues affecting your family by catching all of our weekly episodes with resource links, signing up for our e-newsletter, and downloading our Counterculture Mom app, where you get timely pop culture alerts. Visit counterculturemom.com for more details. And be sure to join us next week for another edition of the Counterculture Mom Show with Tina Griffin, where we are rewriting Hollywood's script for our kids.